Did you really read all those books, or is it just to make an impression?
My sisters love those books. I really think you might like them. And I'm willing to be directed as well.
والكافي تهذيب استبصار من لا يحضره الفقير.
How much are you familiar with the books in the bookshelves of the Muslim libraries in the world?
You're listening to the program Bookshelf on RIB English Radio with Brother Hussein, a book lover and a student of Tarbiyat Mudarris University of Tehran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. This is RIB English Radio broadcasting from Iran, and we are Bookshelf. In the Nahj al-Balagha, Imam Ali alayhi salam reminds Malik to be considerate of his subordinates and those whom he rules over, because they are either his brethren by religion or by being the offspring of Adam. After the demise of the Prophet, Muslims broke into two main sects: the Sunni, who took Abu Bakr as the Prophet's direct successor, and the Shia, who took Ali for that position. Regardless, both groups are Muslim and both groups revere Ali, either as the fourth or first legitimate caliph. Point is, Ali is a reliable source to both. What we see from Ali is respect to all Muslims, regardless of their school. If we believe in Ali, we should follow him in our practices. So we're all Muslim and thus brothers and sisters in religion, in addition to being the progeny of Adam. We are doubly related. We all have the same goal, to obey God subhanahu wa ta'ala. Regardless of the intentions of some leaders to purposely mislead others in favor of their own benefits, the majority of Muslims follow what they think is the most certain way compared to the rest. We break into various schools nowadays, and that's okay, but that doesn't defy that we are all Muslims nevertheless. And a Muslim is always seeking the truth, because it's through truth that you can find God. And so it is our essential need, and it should be our adamant demand, to have calm, academic, and respectful discussions with each other. A lot of the arguments that surface the Muslim minds about other sects is simply the result of misunderstanding or purpose inoculation of false information. I'm not addressing any specific sect here, it happens all around. We have to inspect our arguments, prepare ourselves to change if need be by entering a discussion, acknowledging that we might be wrong. We must keep our calmness throughout the discussion. Shouting and cussing will achieve nothing. We should be loyal to nothing but the truth, and we must understand that in a sensible discussion, there is still a lot of room for feeling uncomfortable. That's okay. It's part of finding the truth. That is when we Muslims can all live together in peace and harmony and form one big unity, regardless of our beliefs and practices, so long as they don't harm each other. Islamic schools and their adherents have been diverging from each other for too long, but it doesn't have to stay that way. I'll be back. Stay tuned.
Why do we read books in the first place? What are books good for?
We read books because we don't want to reinvent the wheel, if you will.
We'd better take advantage of human cultural and intellectual heritage, particularly related to our daily activities, such as our physical, mental, spiritual, or even religious health.
We can't ignore the past thoughts and experiences. To do so, we need to boost our bookshelf.
You're tuned into IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Bookshelf. Today we were talking about the importance of discussion between the various Islamic schools. In 1927, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Shirazi, also known as Sultan al-Wa'izin Shirazi, had a 10-night sensible discussion with Sunni adherents and scholars in a city called Peshawar in what is now Pakistan. The discussion was published in the form of a book called Peshawar Nights and has been in circulation ever since. You can download today's book for free from al-islam.org. It's called Peshawar Nights by Sultan al-Wa'idin al-Sayyid Muhammad al-Musawi al-Shirazi and published by Ansarian Publications. Ansarian Publications is a very respected publication based in Qom that dedicates itself to supporting and disseminating Islamic books in English. The book is 443 pages long and consists of so much, so I'll randomly read the contents. You can read about Shias not divided into factions, yeah, the explanation about the Zaydiyas, the Kaysaniyas and their beliefs. There is a part about the difference between Islam, submission, and Iman, faith. They talk about in these 10 days about the Hadith of Manzila, which has been narrated several times. And the difference between assumed unity and real unity, merits of Ali, Fatima, Hassan, and Hussein, proven by the verse of imprecation, and quite a lot of subjects, to be honest. It's a 10-night debate between two schools, so you can expect a lot. We're going to take a break, but when we're back, I'll be reading an excerpt from this book. You might want to download the book meanwhile so that we can read it together. Stay tuned.
7, barometric pressure.
We come to you, and oh God, knowing that thou art our only king.
Stay tuned to the program Bookshelf on IRIB English Radio.
You are back on IRIB English Radio, broadcasting from Iran, and this is Bookshelf. I'm going to be reading page 290 of Peshawar Nights by Sultan al-Wa'idhin, Sayyid Muhammad al-Musawi al-Shirazi. The title is Shias Accusing Aisha of Adultery and Its Reply. The Sheikh: the worst thing that the Shias are guilty of is that they accuse Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha of adultery. It is an acknowledged fact that she had the honor of sexual intercourse with the Holy Prophet of Allah and that she was his loving wife. They do not realize what this slanderous accusation leads to. Have they not read Surah An-Nur of the Holy Quran, where Allah says, "Bad women are for bad men, and bad men are for bad women. Good women are for good men, and good men are for good women." Well-wisher. And I have to explain here that in this book, it's like a script itself. The well-wisher is the Sultan al-Wa'idhin, while the Shaykh is anyone else who is debating him. So the well-wisher says, "First, the charge that the Shias accuse Umm al-Mu'mineen Aisha of immoral actions and adultery is absolutely false. Never has such a thing been said by the Shias. This assertion is a blatant calumny circulated centuries ago by the Nawasib and the Khawarij in order to instigate confusion. They attributed to the Shias what they themselves said. Subsequently, others, without making inquiries, attacked the Shias as you are now doing. If you would study Shia books, you would not find anywhere that Aisha has been accused of adultery. If you read the Shia's histories and commentaries, you will see how they have defended Aisha from the charges of adultery. The fact is that such reports were made by a group of hypocrites during the time of the Holy Prophet. Some of those involved were Mista ibn Uthatha, Hassan ibn Thabit, and Abdullah ibn Ubay. Concerning Aisha's exoneration from the false charges of the hypocrites, 7 verses were revealed in the Holy Quran. Shias believe that to make a false charge of adultery or immoral action against any Muslim is unlawful, not to mention a wife of the Holy Prophet, whether she is Aisha or Hafsa. Second, the holy verse you have recited does not mean what you have said. It is not necessarily so that if a husband is a virtuous believer and worthy of paradise, that his wife will be the same. There are many instances which prove that spouses may attain different levels of virtue. In Surah Tahrim, the prohibition, Allah says, "Allah sets forth an example to those who disbelieve, the wife of Noah and the wife of Lot. They were both under two of our righteous servants, but they were unfaithful to them, so they availed them nothing against Allah. And it was said, enter the fire with those who enter. And Allah sets forth an example to those who believe, the wife of Pharaoh when she said, 'My Lord, build for me a house with thee in the garden and deliver me from Pharaoh and his doing and deliver me from the unjust people.'" So the discussion goes by like that. I think that you get that this is a very interesting book. It's actually a fascinating book to read. And do you know what I like most about it? How it demonstrates the mutual respect and honesty that was dominant during the discussions. The book shares many useful information. It's a must read if you ask me, but it would have never happened if it wasn't because of respect. Until next week, why don't you get into respectful discussion with the person who you think is wrong? Examine your arguments and theirs, think about them and study more, and then go back to them again for a deeper conversation. Till next week, same time, same place. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.